How exactly are B2B marketing teams using AI? What's working well? And what's causing missteps that actually caused their organization to immediately write an AI usage policy? What tools are people using? And how does AI factor into workflows? Luckily enough, I interviewed 20 B2B marketing leaders, and I'm sharing all in this episode. You're listening to the Content 10X podcast, where it's all about content repurposing. I'm Amy Woods, and I'm here to help you maximize your content and find smart ways to get your message in front of more of the right people, whilst also saving time. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the Content 10X podcast. I'm your host, Amy Woods, and thank you so much for joining me today in this episode. This week's episode is the start of a mini-series that we're kicking off, where over here on the Content 10X podcast, we're reflecting on sharing big insights from our sister show, B2B Content Strategist. Our other podcast, B2B Content Strategist, is in its third season, and it's been fantastic. If you're not fully aware of the show, it's an interview show where I sit down with content marketing leaders from B2B organisations to discuss the approaches that generate results and growth. Our aim is to share inspiring conversations to help B2B marketers think differently and continuously improve and hopefully overcome content marketing challenges. In season three, we've been digging into lots of topical things, including how teams are using AI, what the most successful types of content are right now, what's being kept in-house and what's outsourced, predictions for B2B marketing, and so much more. And we've had some fantastic guests over on B2B Content Strategist, including Jason Widdup from Pixis, Matt Clooney from NewRes, Shannon Howard from Intellum, Amy Higgins from Cloudflare, Mike Derrico from Arix Technologies. I could go on, that's just a handful of the fantastic guests that I've had the pleasure of speaking to. To check out B2B Content Strategist, you'll find it on any of the major podcast apps, or go to our YouTube channel, that would be content10x.com/YouTube. Head to our website, content10x.com/B2B-content-strategist, and you'll be able to check out all of the episodes. I decided that since there's been so much gold being shared on B2B Content Strategist, and some really key themes are emerging, it will be great to share what they are over here on the Content 10X podcast. Now, I hope you notice the repurposing here too. Of course, it is the Content 10X podcast all about repurposing and maximizing content. And this episode, I guess, is a prime example. I'm repurposing best bits from our other show, B2B Content Strategist, and I know you are going to love this. In the episode today, I'm going to be digging into AI. Now, I know AI is spoken about a lot, and you might be thinking, oh, not another podcast about AI. But I promise you, this is going to be different. I asked a load of really successful B2B content marketing leaders some great questions about AI. And I've reflected on all of their answers, and I've trawled through the transcripts and really tried to put together an episode that provides insight into what people are thinking and doing right now when it comes to AI. So in this episode, I'm going to share what B2B marketing teams are using AI for, covering content creation and workflow automation too, what the biggest concerns are with AI, what the situation is with quality control and compliance, so where are we with that? Does everyone have rules and policies in place yet or not? Also, what are the favourite tools that were mentioned? And also how the conversations with regards to AI brought up discussions about the importance of human-centric content and storytelling. So let's dig in. Now, unlike the second season of B2B Content Strategist that was recorded in 2023, in this season, everyone was using AI. Some teams were still scratching the surface, but many more saw it as completely embedded. Paul Way, who was at Tipalti when we spoke on the show, he said that his team was all over AI. Mike Derrico said he couldn't imagine a day not using it. So it did seem like most people and most marketing teams do use AI every day in some way, shape or form. Now, I would say there was a really strong consensus with pretty much everyone that I spoke to that AI is an efficiency tool, way more so than a creator. That's not to say that it isn't used in content creation though, so let me share more on that. So for content creation, AI is being used by B2B marketing teams for ideation, outlining, summarising and first drafts, with a big emphasis from everyone on rough drafts, always requiring human review, but it's really popular with this, so the whole summarising and first drafts, and also the outlining process. I really liked what Katie Morley said. She was our first guest for the season, and she said that she finds AI really helpful for templated content. For example, if she has a template for a case study, or templates for social posts related to case studies, let's say, AI can work with a template and tone of voice guidelines and come up with helpful first drafts. Shannon Howard, in episode 5, said something really quite similar, where she uses AI for formulaic content. Mentioning case studies again and press releases, she said that she finds it unsatisfactory for nuance writing, but it's good with this formulaic content. Let's hear what Shannon had to say.
We do leverage AI. I use it more for formulaic things. So if we're doing a case study that's challenge solutions results, I'll pull in my notes from customer conversations and have it do the first draft, and then I'll edit it from there. Same thing with press releases. I hate writing press releases because I think they're boring. So I'll just take the notes from the conversation and be like, here's 3 of our past press releases. Here's the information for this one. Can you write it? And then I'm usually updating and making it, like, doing the quotes. But for actual content, I think I'm just a little too particular and controlling. If I have a vision, I just want to write it. I don't want AI to write it. I don't like, and maybe I just haven't learned how to train it on how I think and how I write, but I just don't love often the output. I think there's a lot of language in there that I wouldn't use, a lot of very like, oh, ChatGPT wrote this type words. I've even tried giving it a list where I'm like, you tend to say these 30 words and I would like you to never use those. And it doesn't, it still uses them.
Yep, I completely hear you there. AI can definitely have an obvious tone, no matter how much you try to train it. And it will do the complete opposite of what you ask anyway. We'll come on to concerns soon and talk a bit more about that. But sticking with what people use AI for, I think templated content and formulated content is definitely a good one. Now, getting down into a bit more detail, we talked about AI and its uses when it comes to brainstorming. For example, when you're stuck to find an alternative word, AI is definitely helping marketing teams there. Or when you're trying to come up with blog title ideas, or webinar title ideas, ad copy ideas, AI can be very effective. We also looked into how it can be used with editing and proofreading as well. So that's another big area that AI can be a content marketing team's best friend. Katie Morley said that AI has been really helping sales teams and product teams to edit and proofread their work before it comes to her. So it's overall better quality prior to her review. I thought that was really interesting. If you have teams that are providing you with content requests or content to review, how about providing them with a prompt library of some really good prompts that you could ask them to use on their content before it comes to you? So before you provide us with this product update and ask us to write a blog post about it, please can you follow these AI prompts on the product update information, that kind of thing. So that was a really useful way of using AI that Katie spoke about. And similarly, Martin Malloy talked about how he sees AI as an assistant and he doesn't have to ask team members to proof anymore. Have a listen to what Martin had to say.
I think it is like a good assistant. Like, here's some of my notes. Can you organize this into an outline? Can you edit, or can you just proofread my piece, right? It's like someone there that can, you know, you don't have to ask someone else on your team. Hey, can you proofread this? I've been working on this all day.
I really like this because it goes to show how one person getting to grips with AI and using it to improve workflow actually frees up the time of their colleagues. A really useful use case for AI that is a little bit different to the usual ones you hear came from Lubaczynski in episode 3, Leva shared how it's useful with employee advocacy to avoid repetition. So AI can help create multiple variants of the same core post so it doesn't feel like everyone is posting the same thing. Let me go ahead and share Luba explaining this.
The other place that we used it was in versioning social posts, because with a social media advocates program that we used, we had multiple advocates developing posts or posting pre-approved posts, and sometimes it was just one post. And so you can use AI to create different versions of posts so that it feels like, it doesn't feel like 12 people in the organization are posting exactly the same thing.
What a great use case for AI. I absolutely love that. And it's very different to what we often hear people talking about. Now, it seems that AI is also very much an enabler for workflow automation. It certainly seems like it's getting better and better at workflow automation and freeing up marketers for more creative and strategic work. And that's obviously a great thing. So B2B marketing teams, they're using AI for automation of project management. So many project management tools these days seem to be bringing AI features into them, and this is getting better and better. Internal knowledge management is another thing. So for example, building custom GPTs for sales enablement, that's really interesting. Reporting automation, so of say, for example, of pipeline, of channel analytics, all sorts of marketing reporting can be automated further with the use of AI. We also had great conversations about AI and how it can be used for data and research related tasks like audience segmentation and insight analysis, lookalike audience building, qualitative data analysis too, so working through survey data and research data, and also summarization of dense data. So some other great ways of using AI. I would certainly say that throughout all of the conversations on how great AI can be, the emphasis time and time again was getting good at prompts, and you only get out what you put in terms of quality in, quality out. That was 100% acknowledged in every conversation. Now, moving on from what people use AI for, let's look at what the concerns are about AI, and there were many. Now, I noticed a strong resistance to using AI for final drafts or thought leadership. Absolutely clear consensus across the board that humans have to be involved. I could not agree more with this. It was certainly music to my ears. And related to that were concerns over originality and brand voice, quality concerns, things starting to sound samey and low quality, and concerns over regulatory risks as well. I'll come on to that in just a moment. Without doubt, everyone seemed to agree that AI requires strong editorial oversight, not just for polishing content, but for judgment as well. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but even with explicit instructions, it still uses banned words and phrases that you tell it not to use, and it can completely make things up too. Now, a fun story, but when I prepared for these B2B Content Strategist Insight episodes, I fed the master transcript into AI and I asked it to review for key themes. It could not do this job. It just kept making things up. It came back with completely made up guest names and completely fabricated conversations as well. So I tried different things like feeding each transcript in individually and asking it if it had understood that transcript first before moving on to the next one, because it felt like it was struggling with too much information being fed into it. But that didn't work. By the end, it still started completely making up names and conversations. And I even said to it, "Why are you making up names and making up conversations?" And it apologized and said, "I'm struggling with the information, and yes, you're right, I have just completely invented podcast episodes to basically satisfy what you're asking." So I just found that to satisfy me, it would say anything. So you need to be really careful with this. And I tried different tools when it wasn't working for me on ChatGPT. I tried Claude, then I tried Perplexity. They were all doing the same thing. So I'm not surprised people have concerns about that, because that's something that I have concerns about too. So I think a huge thing is to be careful with over-reliance. Martin Malloy said something really good here when he spoke about it being an assistant. What he said, I think it can be a really helpful assistant, but I think it can easily become a crutch. Paul Way from episode 9 also said something really interesting. Let's have a listen.
What I've told my teams and the teams around my teams, like the product marketing team, which does a lot of writing, what I've told them is use it, just use it, but please don't copy and paste. And, you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But for me, the benefit is I can always find it, you know? And so when I get around to reading it, I just keep kind of letting them know that, like, it's okay to use AI, but it's not okay to copy and paste AI. You really do need to augment this stuff.
I agree with Paul that I can always spot AI too. And if we both can, so can a lot of our audience too. We don't want that. We have to write for ourselves. Another big concern is that you can end up wasting time. So playing with AI and trying to get it to do better and improve, and all of a sudden you spent an hour messing about with this AI tool when the hour could have just gone into doing better work without it. That was a theme that came up quite a few times. I would say that there seems to be widespread agreement that AI isn't great for image creation or creative ideation, originality, definitely not video generation. I think we've all laughed, haven't we, at the images of people with six fingers and things like that. Personally, I have problems with Canva and its AI features. I don't know why, but whenever I feed an image, like a photograph, in and ask if it can say resize the photo, it will always change me into a man. I don't know why it does that, but I don't use Canva AI because I don't think that works too well. Perhaps it will improve, but there was discussions generally about how it's not particularly good when it comes to anything to do with image generation or video generation. Something else that Paul Way spoke about when it comes to his concerns on AI is that companies are removing strategic content roles and replacing them with executional AI and junior talent. Let me share more on what Paul had to say on that, because I think this is super interesting.
There's one thing I do not see AI doing in the short term. Is you can ask it for strategy, but it's not going to be able to execute a real strategy for you. And it can come up with all sorts of great ideas. But what a company is going to need in 5 years is how it pulls all that together. Because I see right now companies removing this strategic layer. I don't see many opportunities out there for senior level content people. And I see these opportunities for sort of mid and more junior level, which is great, but something's not adding up in my mind, because I kind of feel like, okay, my guess is you guys are all going to get addicted to volume, because you're going to say, look at how much we can create. And I've been down this road, believe me. I've worked for a company where we wrote 1,000 blogs in a year. And so the idea is, like, I think it's going to create this addiction to volume. And at some point, somebody in the higher levels of that company is going to be saying, well, what is our content strategy? And people around them are going to be like, well, we create this and we create this and we create this. And they're going to realize, we don't have a content strategy, just random acts of content. What are we doing? Stop. We need strategic people to figure out how to organize this, how to make this work with this, how to repurpose content instead of just creating stuff with AI all the time, how to make sure that we're aligned with sales, how to make sure that we're aligned with product, you know, whatever it might be. They're going to realize AI isn't doing that for us. Stop. Let's go back. Let's bring in more senior people and see if they can help us rein this in.
So like I said, I think that's a really interesting point from Paul, and something that B2B companies need to be mindful of, getting addicted to volume and forgetting strategy. And I'm seeing that a lot right now. Now, I want to share with you what I found about quality control and compliance in my conversations with B2B marketing leaders. It seems not many companies have specific AI documented rules and policies in place. it seems more the case that it's a play around and just keep going until something happens that forces us to create a policy. Bamboo HR were interesting because they've built an internal AI sandbox, so they can use AI without anything going into an external tool, which I think is really clever from an IP perspective. It's certainly the case that in the regulated industries, there's a heightened caution around AI usage, and that's hardly a surprise. So these organizations have put in place policies for fact checking, compliance review, and ensuring that no confidential or proprietary data is input into generative AI tools. Here's Matt Crawford from episode 6 talking about their rules at Next Insurance.
Definitely the one policy is review everything, fact check everything, and make sure, and this applies for any type of content, but you know, insurance is important, compliance is important. So we take that very seriously and you know, have a process for reviews before they're published. We also very early on said we're not going to create AI content at scale, right? Like a lot, some companies are just churning out article after article on AI content, and you know, some found some success and were later dinged by Google or SEO or whatever. But I think our position on it is we can use AI to enhance human generated content and help us do things maybe faster and more efficiently. But at the end of the day, it's crucial to add that human touch still, and to add some perspective and something new where we can. That's really the biggest focus for us.
Similarly, Neville Fias, when we spoke, he was at Impact's Asset Management. He talked about how they are very cautious with AI. They're excited, but cautious were his words. Lubachirsky said AI experimentation must be measured and compliance conscious, especially in a heavy regulated industry like financial services where she works. Kieran Regan talked about putting in some policies after they made a misstep, so I found that quite an interesting story. They had used AI and it hadn't gone too well, and it had, kind of upset some people within the organisation, and they went ahead and then had to develop some policies to make sure that didn't happen again. And they found this to be quite a common theme. Let's just keep going until we need a policy. Jess Larkin at Confluent had a very clear policy on using AI-generated content. She said that we're always really mindful of making sure any content we have is our own IP. So there's a framework and a guideline in place for that. And I thought that was really interesting, and definitely where I see that if companies aren't there now, they most likely will be there fairly soon in the future. Now, when it comes to discussing AI tools, all the usual you'd expect came up. ChatGPT was mentioned a lot, Perplexity, lots of mentions. Michelle Asher said she prefers Perplexity for its citation features. Grammarly was talked about, the pro version in particular. Otter AI, mentioned by Katie Morley, and Writer.com. Claude came up a little bit, but not so much. And also Keyplay was mentioned, so market mapping and analysis with Keyplay. Something really interesting that Jason Widdop said is how AI, or rather being able to use AI effectively, was something that was determining his hiring decisions at Pyxis. He said that he wanted to build a team that is an AI native team from the ground up. He wanted to hire people who know all the tools and know how to use them. And I found that quite an eye-opener. It really got me thinking about myself and Content 10X and our hires now and in the future. And finding people who are, as Jason said, AI native is a really smart move. Finally, I found in this AI world, the more we discussed AI, we ended up coming back to the importance of humans within content. So there was an emphasis on customer stories, seems to be a marked shift towards content that features real customer voices, case studies and authentic storytelling, especially as a counterweight to the rise of generic AI-generated content. There was also more focus on community and event-based content. So several of the leaders that I spoke to noted a renewed focus on in-person events, webinars, panels, and community building as a way to foster trust and differentiate from competitors who are relying on digital only or automated outreach or AI. Industry-specific nuance was another big thing, so content strategies are highly tailored to the communication norms of each industry. For example, in traditional sectors like energy or finance, personal relationships and face-to-face engagement remain critical despite digital and AI. While in SaaS or tech and those industries, social-first strategies do seem to dominate. So have a listen to this clip from Mike Derrico, our fantastic client at Arix Technologies, talk about what it's like in the energy sector.
So there was an opportunity for me to get involved in in-person events, but I was like, wow, I mean, these folks still love their trade shows. They're more open to, I don't want to say cold calling, but they love phone conversations. They want to text. They don't even maybe love email so much. They love golf tournaments and fish fries and cook-offs. And I was like, wow, this is just such a different world. And, you know, and I'm an extrovert, but when it comes to tried and true methods I've used in my, you know, in previous roles, I was like, man, I'm going to have to find a new playbook here, you know?
I love that so much from Mike. And again, this can be very industry specific. Now, Kieran Regan strongly championed human-led authentic content, especially in a time dominated by AI. He said that webinars allow them to highlight the passion behind the brand and their people. They purposefully design content formats that allow different team members and subject matter experts to contribute in ways that suit their comfort and their strengths. And the strategy is absolutely designed to showcase real people, not just brand voice. Paul Way actually said something great on that. He said that he believes that voice is the next big differentiator. As AI-generated content is creating sameness, Paul said, your voice can become your brand. That style, that human, funny, natural writing, that is what will cut through. And I completely agree with him. So Matt Clooney, another fantastic client of ours from Newwares, said that he predicts a rise in the demand for authentic human voices, especially in the response to AI. He said the trend toward authentic voices from people who really know the customer is a big thing, and he's pushing to spotlight in-house talent across Newres, not just marketing, but other subject matter experts and in-house talent to represent Newres's brand. And I'm delighted to mention that we have the pleasure of helping Newres to do that, and it's a really awesome thing to work on. Right, we've covered a lot in this episode about how people are using AI and their concerns and what's going on with regulation and compliance and so much more. We've had some fantastic conversations over on B2B Content Strategist, not just about AI, but about many areas of B2B content marketing. If you want to check out any of the episodes in full, then head to our website and you'll find the podcast there, or hit the link in the show notes, or you can find every single episode on our YouTube channel and on all the major podcast apps as well. If you have a favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Amazon Music, whichever one it is, you will find our podcast. Now, in the next episode of this podcast, I'm going to share some more key insights that I've uncovered from the fantastic conversations with B2B marketing leaders that I've been having. And the next episode is going to be about scaling marketing teams. So we're going to be looking at scaling marketing teams. What do the optimal team structures look like? What are we keeping in-house? What's best to outsource? How do you work with external partners? How do you get the most out of your in-house team? And so much more. Once again, thank you so much for joining me in this episode. All that's left to say is I'll catch you in the next one.